Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast from The Sober Club. I'm Genuinely Grace, and this is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. We'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment. And there's inspiration from quitlet authors, experts, and sober heroes. Hi, welcome to Alcohol Free Life. It is the end of January. If you've been doing your dry Jan thing, whether that's for alcohol or giving up sugar or cigarettes or anything else, any other habit you've been trying to change, then I really hope you're in the process of thinking what's next and reassessing the future. I so hope that whatever it is you've been ditching, you aren't immediately going to go back to it. At the very least, be curious about what's next for you. I think it's so interesting that these months are great. The dry January, the sober October, the dry July. They get us kick-started, don't they? And I'm very grateful to my dry January a couple of years ago. Without it, I wouldn't be here. You need a kind of a kickstart often, and it's a good time when everyone else is doing it, obviously. But that concept of sort of, oh my God, thank God it's over, now I can drink. I just hate that. If that's how you're thinking right now, I just urge you to absorb yourself in podcasts and Quitlet and just get whatever inspiration you need. I'm guessing that won't be you, because if it was, you probably wouldn't be listening to this, because you probably know my take on it by now. But if you are at that stage, you know, you're 31 days in or whatever it is, whenever you're listening to this, and you're still feeling really out of sorts, just know that that is so normal. It is so normal to feel that way. We have such high expectations, don't we, that we're going to feel great straight away, but we really don't. And I'm really glad that, because I run the Sober Club and I get to hear from a lot of members who are obviously at very different stages, it reminds me of how it was for me. It's very easy once you're out of this trap and you're free from any of this. It's very easy to think, oh, just go for it. And when I look back sometimes at some journals that I've written, notes that I made in those early weeks. Oh God, I was grumpy. Really, really out of sorts and just unsettled and not sure who I, just a mess really. So it's very, very normal if you aren't feeling sparkly and fabulous. It will come. We just have to promise you it will. This will pass. These feelings are very normal. And when you actually look back at how many months and years you've been caning the booze, surely you can allow 6 weeks, 8 weeks for the recovery. You know, if we're ill, we kind of nurture ourselves, don't we? And I think you've got to think of it like that. Just think of it as actual recovery from a really long-term, really debilitating illness. And of course, we can't all necessarily put our feet up and not do anything. But you know, when you get back from work, when you close the office door, whatever it is you do for your, you know, during the day or whatever you do for your work, as soon as you can get some downtime, use it wisely and plan ahead. You know, it really is this thing of planning. So if you know that Fridays are always a trigger for you because you come out of work and everyone goes to the pub or you get home and you have your favourite bottle of wine or whatever it is for you, then plan ahead. Book yourself into a class. Take yourself off to a museum. Arrange to meet a friend. Get a really great alcohol-free drink. Go to bed early. Watch a film. On and on and on and on. And you know this stuff by now. It's about conscious thought. If you just allow yourself to casually slip into the Friday afternoon or slip into the Saturday lunchtime at the pub, as you always do, then stuff will go wrong. You will slip up. Of course you will. You're only human. And if you haven't prepped this, then other people's views will come in and overtake. There's always this person who says, oh, yeah, but you can just have one, or oh, start tomorrow, or don't be ridiculous. You're so boring. Just have a drink with me now. One won't hurt. We all know that stuff. But if you've made your commitment, be true to who you are. Make your commitment and really mean it. But, and I've said this so many times, recognise why you're doing this. Because if you're just hoping that it's going to be different this time, if you're hoping, oh, thank God, now I've got 4 weeks under my belt, I just hope I can stick at this now, that's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough just to say, well, I hope it's different this time. Because we've all had God knows how many times when we've ditched the booze. Ask yourself, why will this time be different? And the answer will be because you really mean it. And because there's a reason why you really mean it. And again, if that reason is just a logical reason, if the reason is simply because I know this is bad for me, and I've read stuff, and I've read Professor David Nutt's book, Drink, and I know the stats now, and I've looked at stuff on Alcohol Change UK, and it's not doing me any good, I must stop. All of that stuff's great, by the way. That logic is great. But it's not going to actually get you over the tricky time when you're having fun with your friends and they say, just have one, and they hand you the drink. It's not going to get you past that. What you'll say in that instant, if you haven't planned ahead, is, I'll start tomorrow. And so that's why you have to be absolutely clear on your big why, and you have to feel it. It's how you feel. It's the emotional connection. And in order to get the emotional connection, in order to get the pleasure from other stuff, we have to put other stuff in place. We have to actually do other things that make us feel good, so that our little subconscious mind, our inner toddler, who is pleasure-seeking all the time, understandably, our subconscious mind wants to keep us safe. It wants us to do what we've always done. And if going somewhere after work on a Friday always means we feel good, we feel confident because we're having drinks with friends, we need to put other things in place that feel good. You know, we need to have other things that are pleasurable for us. And that brings me on beautifully to my guest, because these things that I'm talking about, this stuff we put in place, does not have to always be mega expensive and mega exciting. It can be ordinary. And I, as you know, that leads me just nicely into telling you that my guest is Catherine Gray. I've been promoting her for weeks because I am such a big fan of Catherine Gray's. I mean, really, as writers go, for me, she's right up there. She really is a fantastic writer. And I loved The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. It's a book that I go back to time and time again, just because I love the way she uses the English language. Her words are just beautiful, and she explains everything just so brilliantly well. And if you haven't read that book, I strongly recommend you go read it. Also, you can listen to my podcast with Catherine, where we're talking about The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. It's way back, probably episode number, 6 or 8 or something. But if you go to thesoberclub.com, click on the menu item, you'll see podcasts there, and you can find it there, or you can find it on Spotify or whatever. Anyways, that was when we were talking about that book. She also had The Unexpected Joy of Being Single, which is another great book. And now this one, which is just magical. It's called The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary. And there's something just so beautiful about this book, because, in fact, it is extraordinary. You know I was going to say that. It just makes you realise that life can be okay. And we spend so much of our lives, all of us, and this is the premise of the book, really, thinking, well, what's next? What am I going to do and have next? And I've got a house. Now I need a bigger house. And I've got a relationship. But is it my dream relationship? And I'm working, but is it my dream job? And I'm going on holiday, but it's not as good as someone else's holiday. This is stuff that we all do. She talks about a concept in the book called the hedonic treadmill. This is a phrase that was coined by psychologists who explain how we adapt our thinking around looking for things that make us happy. She's got a fantastic list in the book. There's masses more, but I've just opened the book at this one page where she talks about, you know, little things like learning to fix things myself with the learning portal of YouTube. She also says in somewhere else in the book that one of the great ordinary joys is setting up a flat pack, which had me screaming with laughter because the last time I tried to do anything like that was absolute agony. But then, as she says, persist with it. Go on, because when you're done, you feel like an actual carpenter. So there is that. And then she says, buying a fridge full of food and dropping off a basket's worth to a food bank on the way home. I mean, what a lovely tip. Kindness is always good for you. Remembering people's birthdays, running boldly into the icy sea, only to run right back out. And it's that kind of thing. It's little things that cost little or no money. And most of us have forgotten about them. We really have. The other beautiful thing about this book is that she encourages us to write gratitude lists. And of course, the gratitude lists are something that I've been talking about for absolutely ages. If you are in those early stages of ditching the booze, one of the simplest things you can do to change your mood, to just reset how you're feeling, is to just write down what you're grateful for. But she also says, you know, write down the ordinary things that have made you happy in detail, because when you're writing gratitude lists, sometimes it's a case of, you know, we write the same things. Right? Oh, I'm grateful for my home, grateful for my family, grateful for having enough food. And all of that is wonderful, of course. But she says, no, actually put the detail on it so that you're really, really clear on the little things, the ordinary joys that you experience during the day. It's amazing to focus on this stuff. It makes such a difference. In the book, in the preface, she says here, I'm no snake oil dealer. She says, I'm no snake oil dealer. All I can do is show you how I learned to go from suicidal to baseline happy. I can't promise your experience will be the same, but it's possible this book may have that side effect. And I would say this book absolutely comes with a warning. It might make you seriously happy. How cool is that? How does any of this link to sobriety and having an alcohol-free life? Well, 100%. Catherine will tell you herself that none of this would have happened without her ditching the booze. When you are pouring wine on your head or whatever your drink was or is, you cannot appreciate the joy of the ordinary. You find very little appreciation in anything because everything's numbed. And that's why, you know, I love the fact that she talks about the way that ditching the booze was what changed everything for her and opened up her eyes to a different world. And that just sums up what I'm trying to do with this podcast and with the Sober Club. I'm trying to help people recognize that they have so much more potential, that they can become who they really are, that they can get healthy, they can get creative, they can change jobs if they want to, they can have a new career if they want to, they can do up their home, they can declutter, they can book the dental appointment. Some's big stuff, some is little stuff. But whatever it is, it's becoming who you are. I found this lovely, lovely quote by Hannah Brenn. The quote is, take half a cup of creative joy, 4 heaped tablespoons of courage, 1 pint of personal growth, and 1 sprinkling of purpose. Mix well. Isn't that gorgeous? I'm going to run the interview that I recorded with Catherine. I must just preempt that I grabbed her for a little bit of time after she had done an interview with us on BBC Radio 2 about the book. So it's a very short interview, but hopefully it gets the message across. And it's a little bit kind of echoey. So I hope the sound doesn't put you off. Enjoy. Let's kick off. So, Catherine, it is so lovely to be able to speak to you, and great to be able to interview you on Radio 2 as well. How cool is that?
Thank you.
So I love the new book, The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary.
Thank you.
Just before we get into that, I'm really interested in just reminding people of your story, because obviously you wrote The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober, but even before that, you kind of hit a bit of a rock bottom yourself, didn't you? And things weren't always marvellous for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, things were really the pits. I really reached an emotional nadir just before I quit drinking. So that was when I was 33. And I think the thing that kicked it all off, I'd noticed in my late 20s that I was drinking more than my friends. They were beginning to slow down. I was beginning to speed up. And also, I was the one that wanted to stay out. I was always the one that was like, one more bar, one more club, one more dance, one more drink. Mm. And people were getting annoyed with me, and friends were starting to give me nicknames like Booze Hag. That was one particularly flattering
nice.
One. And yeah, things were not going well. And my career, I'd always sort of gotten away with my drinking. And after 30, it started going down. And also at 30, my boyfriend of 3 years broke up with me. So I started drinking at home alone, which is always a bad sign.
Yeah.
And kind of crying into my wine and listening to Magic FM. It was almost like I was hosting my own pity party.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just got to the point where I was drinking 7 or 8 bottles of wine a week, and you know, it was just a no-brainer for me to quit, but I thought my social life was going to be over.
Yeah.
But it was quite the opposite.
I mean, I know you know full well that your book has changed so many lives, and it's just, it still goes on and on and on. It's just amazing the work that you did with that book. And now, with The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary, I think it's so timely for lots of us, you know, like me, who've now been sober a couple of years, because when you've ditched the booze,
yeah,
suddenly other things start to become important for you, and also when you've ditched the booze, kind of anything that's going wrong in your life, the cracks sort of start to appear, don't they? And,
yeah,
and suddenly things are revealed,
yeah,
and we don't always have the emotional resources to deal with them.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, we talk about sort of self-care and just embracing the ordinary. You know,
yeah,
that's why I love, you know, for me, this book is so connected to the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, is that how, kind of how it came about for you?
Yeah, it's so, you're right, it's completely connected. And it's the third point in the triangle, really, because what happens when we're drinking is that we're anaesthetising things like anxiety, so then when we quit, our social anxiety goes a bit bonkers, and
yeah,
we then have to deal with it without alcohol, or we're papering over the cracks. Booze is like polyfiller for,
yeah,
the cracks in your life, so when you're sober, you're like, oh, I can see that crack so much more,
yeah,
acutely
and
now.
And also you don't know how to deal with it, because you've been numbing all those years, and
yeah,
probably as an adult, you've never actually had to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's an analogy I use in the book, which is it's like waking up in a trashed hotel room,
mm-hmm,
and having to face the music of the hotel manager and clearing it all up and the bill. And that's what it's like. You have a lot of clear up to do when you first get sober. And one of the things that I realised very early on, 2 months in, was that, yes, okay, you know, things were great that I'd, you know, managed to kick the booze hopefully forever, and it did turn out to be forever. But, well, I'm not dead yet, but I'm pretty sure I'm not going to drink again. But I realised that unless I changed my thinking as well, the,
yeah,
drinking was going to come back in. And so I needed to rewire my naturally... I'm not a naturally happy, upbeat person, I think.
Mm.
I think I'm quite naturally gloomy and worrisome, and also a bit irritated with everyday
life. So you had to kind of teach yourself to... I mean, tell us some of the ordinary things that you recommend, particularly for people who are ditching the booze or in those early months of sobriety. Because I know I've heard you speak in the past about just, you know, you don't have to go to every social event. You can actually say no,
yeah,
put your PJs on and have a hot chocolate.
Of course you can. And I mean, I've got... do you want to hear my list of ordinary joys?
Yeah,
because I
prepared
it for the radio
few,
and then he didn't ask me. Okay, so here are things that I rattled off on the train here, things that I now appreciate that I didn't appreciate before, and it can be anything. So plunging a cafetiere, the sensation of that, coat hooks that look like drunken octopus, they really amuse me, scarecrows, I really like scarecrows, being inside with a hot water bottle while there's a storm raging outside, like Storm Barry or Barney or whatever it's called,
yeah,
at the,
yeah,
minute, chucking a scrunch of paper into a bin and getting it in and feeling like Michael Jordan. Murmurations, neon streak sunrises, crawling into fresh sheets, a dog or a child running towards you to greet you, having the newspaper delivered, jumping onto a train just as it's leaving and feeling a little bit like Liam Neeson. And at radio, which, you know, for a tenner, you can access all these hundreds of stations,
yeah,
that are free entertainment,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
there's just all these things that we take for granted. Toasters.
Yeah,
dishwashers.
Amazing.
Kettles.
I know, it's all about kind of, in a sense, raising your vibration, isn't it? And looking for what's good. And I know that one of the things that you point out in the book, and it's something I've been wanging on about for ages, is the importance of gratitude and actually remembering what it is you're grateful for. Because it's,
yeah,
very easy, particularly in the early stages. I know when I first stopped drinking, I was grumpy as hell. And
yeah,
I couldn't think of anything other than the negatives. I needed this book so badly then.
Yeah.
You know, I needed to remember the joy of the ordinary.
Yeah.
But particularly, you know, writing that gratitude list is something you definitely recommend, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. But you don't have to write it. If you're not a writer, you can draw it, you can doodle it, or you can do it via voice note if you're more,
mm-hmm,
of a talker, or you can just take photographs of things,
mm-hmm,
that bring you joy. But the whole point is, I mean, it's not just me and you. We have negatively biased brains across the board. We,
yeah,
are wired that way.
Yeah.
It helped us back on the savannas when we had to spot what we needed to run from, to see threats and weird berries that might poison us. But now it doesn't help us. It just makes us anxious or depressed.
Yeah.
So the very act of noticing the good thing is the important thing.
And I know also this lovely phrase, comparison is the thief of joy. What's your view of social media connectivity? Because all of us are looking at social media and it always, always, always looks as though somebody else's life is so much better than ours.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I am a fan of social media when it comes to the sober movement, though, because there's amazing things happening there.
And also everyone's so very generous there, which is really lovely.
Yeah, so that is a lovely thing. But if you're just, you know, following celebrities and looking at their perfect planks or kitchens or whatever, that's not going to make you feel good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't stop other people posting extraordinary things and burying their ordinary things, but you can take long breaks. I take 4 months off a year and I really find that helps. Yeah.
Wow, that's so
always
impressive.
Now, because otherwise I find myself getting into that mindset of, what's the point? Because this weekend there was nothing to post about, because nothing, I didn't like go to a cafe with a swing or, you know, meet an enormous dog that sat on my lap. I don't know.
But you can plunge a coffee, right?
Yes, exactly.
Or throw a bit of paper in a bin.
Yeah.
Ordinary
so
joys.
It's almost like the gratitude list is the beautiful things that happen in the day that you can't post about.
Yeah.
And you didn't notice before, maybe.
Love it. Catherine Gray, thank you so much. I absolutely love your work. I'm such a big fan and I look forward to the next book.
Oh, thanks, darling.
Thank you.
Make sure you grab that book, The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary, Catherine Gray, and listen to my podcast with Catherine on the unexpected joy of being sober as well. She gets a mention in my TEDx talk. That's pretty cool. No one else does. you know, as we've kind of alluded to, all of this stuff, everything, every last bit of it, usually comes down to how much we accept ourselves, how much we are able to really have that self-esteem, have that self-love. That the truth of it is, most of us don't have that when we're drinking. I've said many times that for me, I knew all about the importance of self-love, but it didn't ring true for me because I wasn't being authentic with who I knew that I needed to be. So because I know so many people want to practice more self-love, and sometimes, not always, but sometimes that means focusing on meditation and mindfulness. I'm starting in the Sober Club a self-love challenge. You know, we've got February coming up, of course, and everyone calls it the month of love. And if you're fed up with pink Valentine's hearts, well, here's another take on it. We're going to call it the February, the month of self-love. And I'm going to do a seven-day challenge within the Sober Club. And we've got some amazing, amazing resources. Absolutely incredible stuff. And I'm so lucky because I've got great contacts who've gifted me some wonderful resources. So in addition to all the stuff that I'm going to be offering, I have some meditations from Joe DeRosa, very short guided meditations. I've got a fabulous guided visualization from Rachel Welford, who's one of my podcast guests coming up in the future. A lovely little piece on loving yourself, you know, if you're a beginner to it all, with a coach called Fiona Drake, and much more coming your way. So if that is something that you think you might enjoy, then come and join us in the Sober Club. There is a small monthly fee, but obviously you can leave at any time. And there's a huge amount of resources in there. We have the online course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. We have a mass of information, videos, goodness knows how many interviews on mindset, on nutrition, on fitness, on relationships, on finding your purpose. Of course, we have the Rockin' Facebook group as well, which you don't have to be part of, but you're welcome if you want to. And if you just want to join us for a month, then please do. You'll get the self-love challenge. And we're going to call it a kind of meditation mashup as well, because there's all different tips and tools and resources that you're going to be able to pick from. So really, really looking forward to that and seeing if we can inspire a whole bunch of people to just be a bit kinder to themselves, because so many of ourselves are mean to ourselves, far more mean than we would be to anyone else. So just check out thesoberclub.com. And of course, before you even look at the membership bit, you can listen to the podcast there, and there's some blog posts. We also have a competition to give away some Kalino drinks. And we're going to have another great competition, by the way, as well, to give away a really beautiful journal. So that fits in really nicely, because as I've said many times, actually journaling really helps on this process. If you're in those early weeks, write stuff down, because it really does make a difference. I just want to remind you that I am doing another retreat at Champneys in Tring, 13th and 14th of June. I don't think it's available to book yet, but mark the date in your diary. I must tell you that our May retreat at Inner Guidance has been postponed. A whole bunch of reasons, but anyways, I will bring you the new date as soon as possible. Please let me know if that's something you're interested in. We'll try to find a date that suits everybody. And also, I'm going to be doing a one-day workshop in July. That's going to be in London. And of course, don't forget, if you can make it to Hertfordshire, Tuesday, 4th of Feb, depending on when you're listening to this, of course, let's talk detox and get the buzz without the booze. It's a juicing workshop. You get an organic juice and a smoothie, and we'll have a meetup, and it's going to be great fun. So go to thesoberclub.com and you'll see the link for Let's Talk Detox for Tuesday, 4th of February. I have got some amazing podcast guests coming up. I'm so lucky. I've already mentioned Rachel Welford. She has some fascinating stuff to share around meditation. Fiona Drake is a coach. Nick Williams talks about leadership. Just a whole bunch of really fantastic guests across a whole different range of topics, but everything tracks back to being the best version of who you can be. And if you have any ideas as to who you'd like me to interview, then you're very welcome just to drop me an email or drop me a message. You can always find me on social media at Janie Lee Grace on Instagram, or at Janie Lee Grace Loves on Facebook, at Janie Lee Grace on Twitter. So I'm easy to find, right? And just my last little top tip, if you like, if you are on that, these last stages of dry Jan, I'm really conscious that some people are at that point, then just set yourself another challenge. Just do 200 days, okay? 200 days. Or just do 100 days and then 200 days. Just stick with it. And if you haven't yet, if you're like me and you've done that ridiculous keeping it secret thing, then tell someone. You can tell me if you like. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Janie Lee Grace. Please go to thesoberclub.com, listen to more podcasts, read our blogs, enter our competitions, grab yourself a free PDF, Self-Care in Sobriety, and check out our online community,